everyone, and welcome to episode 207 of Fans of Power. I'm Joe Amato. I'm here with Nathan Kennedy, and Happy New Year. And yeah, it's just, we took off last week just because, you know, like you said, all the holidays and stuff, and we just we made sure we did Beyond Retro, but we want to take a week off, then we come back all fresh and ready to go. So what's up, Nathan?
Doing okay. We talked a little bit before we started rolling. I woke up this morning and was throwing up a little bit for a couple hours, but all good now.
Good. At least you got the puke out of you, and then hopefully you won't puke during the episode. And I will have my other mask back next. I mean, well, made next week. Still haven't made it. But before we get into the topics, I want to acknowledge everybody in the chat room. We have Adam Gabbert, Eric Amon, JSP, Keldor, Lacey Dean, Michael Purvis, Papa Hud 69, Wisdom Files, and Zentron. And thanks to Nathan for letting me see how to do that, because usually I'm scrolling through all the names, and Gary Buchanan just popped up too. But I'm sitting there, I'm scrolling through, trying to get everybody. Who's like, Joe, there's just a little icon you can click, and it says participants. I was like, oh yeah, that makes it much easier.
Yeah, that way it's not. I'm scrolling. Toki Deathnuts is in the chat room.
is Toki in
here? No, I haven't seen Toki Deathhammer in quite some time. So, hopeful Deathhammer's doing okay.
Yeah, definitely. And Grimbot, what's up, Grimbot? But, before we get into the topics, I'll just mention any of the new news. But the only thing I've seen, for those interested in, which is really cool, those little Hot Wheels for Wind Raider and for those for Thundercats that like the Thunder Tank, those are out right now, I think, at Walmart and Targets. But they're real cool, because I remember they showed the previews a while back of those, and I haven't seen them, of course, you know, in my area, because my area takes a while, but for everybody that's been posting saying, I got it at Walmart, got it at Target, I know you probably didn't even know about them, and I doubt you'd even want to get them, but they are cool.
We had talked about those, but I haven't, like, actively gone and looked for them in the stores. I'm still kind of keeping an eye out for those WWE figures. I haven't seen anything anywhere yet.
And I wanted to let you know that also, those have popped up, I guess, now in the physical stores of Walmart. A lot of people have been posting pictures, so if you have been looking for the Masters of the WWE Universe figures, they're now out, you know, they're at the stores and not just online. Because here's a weird thing that was going on. People were going to the Walmart site, include me, because it made me hold back on buying, and the prices went from $14.99 to $35. And when I looked at that, I was like, are these like third-party sellers? Because, you know, sometimes you go to Walmart or some of those online stores and they have a third-party seller, but apparently it was Walmart itself. And I didn't understand the logic. Some people said, well, maybe that's their way of having it to where people who would come there just to buy them and then, you know, sell them for three times the amount, which, hey, that's their prerogative. People want to make money on those things on eBay, go right ahead. But I was like, I just can't picture it. Something seemed weird. But just to let you know, at the stores, I believe they're still $14.99 at the stores. But I, again, haven't seen them in my area because my area is always the last to get most things.
And oddly enough, a couple of the Walmarts in my area, it's almost like they're downsizing their toy aisles. I went down one of them, and this was something that you just don't see often. Like, it had half of it was the, you know, like the Transformers, Ninja Turtles, and stuff, and then the other side of it was Barbies. I'm like, what? No. Those separate. Those things have been separate forever, and they're downsizing so much that it's. I'm like, what's going on here? And I think it kind of goes
back. It did seem like.
Sorry, Joe. Yeah. It kind of.
No, you're right. Go ahead. They did.
It goes back and proves the point that the kids aren't spending any time in the toy aisle anymore. It's the adult collectors. So.
Basically, I mean, we've been saying that for years. That's what it seems like when you go into the toy aisles. I never really see kids. You're right. You see the adult collectors, which that's why I always say, you know, make some toys kind of. It's bizarre, but you got to keep us kind of in mind first. We're the ones that are buying up the stuff. I mean, kids, you'd hope they'd want to get into it, but they're more into technology, but it'd be great. I'd love to see kids playing with the stuff again. And just quickly, just before we get going, also, Spike and Zen Brown, thank you for joining us. But because I'll get you all later when we do the question and answer in case I miss people. But, yeah, because here's another example. When I went to – now, you'd think around Christmas time, almost all the toy aisles would be really, really wiped out. I mean, really wiped out. And they were flooded. They were still flooded. I mean, a lot of the NECA stuff, like, they're oversaturating with, I think, those damn Predator figures. They're like crazy.
There's so many. That new movie sucked. Why are there 20 figures from that movie? Because they're not going to sell. You're going to have to mark those down.
It's a shame. I mean, Don't you remember a time when they would sell, I mean, when there was any NECA stuff, when it was Predator, when they had Movie Maniacs, especially, when it was more specific, things were wiped, just gone. I mean, they were gone instantly. I mean, you still say that for Jason Voorhees. He's always gone quick. Michael Myers, Freddy then goes, but Predator's just, it's flooded. Yeah. And then, just for curiosity's sake, I was like, gotta go look to see if Netflix She-Ra stuff's there. I just gotta do it, you know what I mean, just to be my favorite show. And I went there, and sure enough, there's that She-Ra at clearance, and the little doll set that they have, a dress-up set for girls, that was at clearance. I was like, that's not really a good sign. I mean, you know, I mean, for those who are wanting super success on, I was like, that's not a good sign, but it just shows, again, where the kids at. Half the time, the collectors that were getting it were getting them for their kids or for themselves. Around Christmas time, didn't see girls flocking to them aisles. Didn't see anybody in the aisles. No. It's sad around Christmas, and kids aren't even in the toy aisle. I'm in the toy aisle. That don't make sense.
I think the only thing that was wiped out was probably the Legos. Everything else was just...
I wouldn't even look to know. I didn't even go there to see. I didn't know that. I wouldn't even look at
it. Yeah, that's the only thing that I see actually moves. And some of those sets are cool, but for the price you pay and the actual size of it, once you get it built, it's not, to me, that's not worth the money. Whatever. Apples and oranges.
Hey, I'm hoping at least if kids are getting Legos, at least they're using their imagination, they're creating things, which we'll be getting into some of the stuff we'll be talking about when we're getting into some of these stories here and stuff we'd like to see in the future. But yeah, the Legos I never really took a look at, but everything else, like I said, it's just kind of just sits everywhere. The only things that we're really selling, like I said, were the one NECAs of the horrors that I mentioned, of Jason, Michael, Freddy, and I can't really think of any others. Even at Walmart, here's the weird thing about Walmart. I went to my Walmart because some people said, hey, you know that WWE ring for the Masters of the WWE universe with the two figures? I keep it fumbling. I hate that saying, damn thing, the Masters of the WWE. I even hate that in wrestling. The WWE universe sucks. Anyways, the set was, I think, $29.99. But then there were some people that were showing pictures saying, my Walmart's got it for like $19. And then one said they had it for $14.99. And I thought I did see somebody post a picture that said $19. But when I went to mine, it was still the $29.99, and there was only one left. So I don't know if it's just certain areas, again, don't sell. You got me. I mean, like my area. I always say my stuff is, I mean, my area has She-Ra. Other people said She-Ra is sold out in their area and they can't find her. So might be just location. I honestly have
not looked for that She-Ra stuff since the time that it hit the shelf. And I went and saw it. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's a thing. And I haven't gone back to check to see how well it was doing or if it had been marked down on clearance. Because I don't know. Whatever. If people like it, cool, great. But clearance is kind of a sign. But at the same time, too, it's also at the fault of Mattel and Playmates and Hasbro and their case ratios for stuff. I know it's kind of a little bit different in this regard, but you got to work on those case ratios. Everyone's going to get those main characters. They're going to want, like, the side characters, some of the other villains, and instead it's like, oh, well, he's in this case, but there's only one of them, and one of the scalpers already bought it because they showed up here at 8 o'clock in the morning or went to Walmart when it got stocked on the shelf at 1 a.m. So,
well, you keep that in mind about the case pack ratios and other stuff when we get to a certain part of the show, because that's all going to come too. But first, I think we'll start off, and I'll let you, take the helm of this to at least start showing the pictures of it. But
I'll go ahead and switch it over.
It's a story that many people have never read before, and those who read it maybe haven't read it for years. And it's the fight for Prison Star, and this is from the 1984 UK annual, and I believe they said it was maybe originally released late 83. I think. See, that's the thing. I didn't grow up in the UK. Have no clue. I got the books years later, but it's then when you talk to people who grew up in the UK, they start explaining.
When you got them all at the time, were they pretty pricey?
No. That's the thing. I mean, when you get things before the hype starts, you can get them at a good price. But I think some of the later ones they were a little more expensive. I mean, the ones that I paid, here's the bizarre thing. I took my chances. When I went to eBay, four of them that I got, when it was listed, didn't have a picture. And you know how at the time when you go to eBay, you want to see a picture. These were some of the sellers that didn't have a picture, and it was listed real cheap. I was like, I don't care. I'm gonna take a chance. I don't even know if at that time eBay had seller or buyer protection, but luckily I got them. And what's cool about these UK annuals, for those who maybe have never seen them before, is, I mean, they're loaded with multiple stories. And even this first one here, they even show some, like, of the prototypes of the figures when they were, like, prototypes, I just fucking said it. Oh, and I just dropped my first F-bomb. I was trying to be good. I was on a roll.
Take a shot.
No more. They ain't gonna hear it no more. But anyways, they had, like, early prototypes of the figures in there, so you could see those, which was cool. But what you're going to get in this, when you get to this story, is, like, of course we see Orko here, but Orko is referred to as Gorpo.
Which as I was reading this, I was like, wait.
You're probably wondering who the hell is...
For a second, I was. I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and drop my F-bomb here. I was like, who the fuck is that? And because I wasn't thinking. And then you see, like, Orko on the second page here. I'm like, oh, okay, it all makes sense now. And I'll go ahead and toss this out there. What is the history with that? Was this...
Well, Gorpo was originally going to be his name in the Filmation cartoon, which I'm thinking just by some of the stuff, like how they use names like this, they might have got that from the Filmation Bible of when he was first called Gorpo. But because I think, and that's when I was hoping Grimbot would still be in the chat room to pop up, I think it's because, you know how Filmation, like, doing the reversed mirrored images of all the characters, and you know, you can't reverse a G because it'll be backwards. So they had to create a new name, and it was Orko, and that O symbol was just universally flipped. And like I said, might be wrong, but I believe that's how it is, and I wish he would be there to correct me. But
Orko,
I think
Orko is a way better name than Gorpo to me. So good call.
But you know, what's weird? I mean, you could say that, but you know, it's funny how you get... You're used to a name for so long that it sounds great, but it makes you wonder, what if we always did call him, you know, Gorpo, and we found out his original name was Orko? We think, oh, does that sound stupid? But you can't really say it because, well, you know how we've grown up hearing that name so long. But I know what you mean. Orko seems like it does just roll off the tongue a little bit better. But, Grimbot did say, yep, that's the story for the O. Okay, good, then I wasn't insane. But what I like with this story is, as you can see, there's just usually one image and then a lot of description.
Which I think, to me, this works out better as, like,
it serves through the mind, imagination.
Well,
I love it.
And
go ahead.
I think it would work out better for, like, a parent to actually read this story to their kid. But as we go through this, it's quite dark. Lots
that's
of
what
death
I,
and
see,
destruction.
The
like,
now,
and I
and they don't play around
don't.
With it.
And they're
it's not like some of these.
No,
well,
I was
going to
say, like, they're moderately descriptive in terms of how the killing is going on in these things. I appreciate too that there's a lot of, especially if this is aimed towards kids. Kids are going to be the ones that are picking this book up and reading it. I like the fact that there's a lot of bigger words in here, things that would actually work a kid's mind. And be like, all right, well, what does that mean?
Exactly, which is going to lend to what we say later about what we'd like to see. But see, look at this right here. These were kids' stories. Remember, these were for kids. And remember, a kid's cartoon, because everybody wants to say, like, nowadays how cartoons are, well, it's for kids, you know, so it's got to be silly. It's like, wasn't like that when we were growing up. And it's not like it was a murderous rampage, but they treated us with respect to use our imaginations as kids, but didn't treat us like kids, almost like little adults. And then, of course, people who are young teenagers and adults, they could still enjoy this too. But it's not like this book was showing the murderous rampage. It's not like I'm saying, oh, that's what made it better. But again, it's treated this material like, okay, this is a fantasy, it's barbaric, and, you know, things can get nuts at times. And that's what I like, because you're hearing about, and the thing is, we're not going to ruin all the story for you guys if you want to read it, whether you find these UK annuals on eBay or just go to He-Man.org, you can read them.
I mean, if we keep them on the pages long enough, if people can actually make out the words in here, then, you can just go ahead and just read it now if you want to.
If they can, they might be able to. Like you said, you read it long enough, and even if we don't, you know, they can always hit pause later on and read everything. But But you do get with seeing more about Manny Faces, you know, Tilo's kind of entranced with, you know, watching him being the most amazing actor. Then he talks about, you know, the monsters within him that, you know, Skeletor calls. He wished there was a spell that could reverse it, which, you know, we know in the ordeal of Manny Faces. Remember, Skeletor's what brought out the beast in him. And then when the goddess or slash sorceress was trying to, like, help heal him, not in this story, but in the ordeal of Manny Faces, then you've seen, like, an explosion. You thought Manny Faces blew up, and the next time you've seen him, he is a robot, and he is neither good or evil, so then that's how the robot part was created, at least in ordeal Manny Faces. But you see that here he's supposed to maybe have himself under control, but not really. Skeletor still has that control over him to turn him into the beast to take Tila, which you find out, well, it's basically for a trap for this prison star. And this prison star, good God, I don't know if it's on this page or the next, but I'll let you go into the next part. But man, it's descriptive of the insanity of this place and the people, like how they describe it as just murderers and the people they kill. It ain't joking.
And most of the people here in the chat are like, ah, just go ahead and talk about the story. So we'll go ahead and dive into it. I think one of my favorite parts is how there is a bit of a language, like the way that it's written out is different for me. Like, there are parts here where Manny Faces came to an end of the soliloquy and his voice died away. And I never think about that in terms of, like, the voice died away. Like, it faded away. But the way that they wrote it just seemed very interesting to me.
I wish I knew. Nate, that's the other thing I want to say, and I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know who the writer of this was, because it wasn't referenced in the book. But this is one of the most well-written stories. And, of course, you can read the other stories in there as well, but it's so descriptive because, again, it's making you think about the stuff because, yes, we see one image, but it's not like a mini comic where it has everything presented in front of you. Since they're not showing all these images, they can get so descriptive that it's making your imagination run wild. And I love how they describe everything. Like you said, from the way there's a voice, the way somebody looks and the coldness and the bloodshot in somebody's eyes, just this writing is better than a ton of the stuff that we've seen even in the old days for the mini comics. I mean, there are some well-written mini comics, don't get me wrong, but this is a hell of a story for being so short. When you see it's like maybe about a total of 8 pages, I can't remember the exact amount of pages, but there's enough description in it to keep you going.
Well, I also have it blown up in a different window so I can actually look at the words because it's a little bit smaller here in OBS, but I kind of went back here to the second page because there's a paragraph right here and I'll just go ahead and read it out. Prison Star held in its thousands of cells some of the most evil and vicious criminals in the universe. Most of them were not human, but of alien descent and with the most depraved minds and attitudes ever seen. There were criminals in there who had decimated whole planets, who had enslaved the inhabitants of other colonies, who had killed for their own amusement and pleasure. Prison Star was a vast spaceship, bursting at the seams with deformed and mutated creatures whose crimes would ensure that never again would they roam the universe, causing death and destruction. So this is like the absolute worst of the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Where you find, that's where Faker's at. And that's where Trapjaw was before he escaped. And the descriptions of them, again, that they were murderous. It's you never really heard much of that. I'm not saying it wasn't heard before in Masters of the Universe and, you know, other literature where they might say death or kill, but they didn't hold back
the way that it's written here, you can actually just visualize it. And there's a couple parts later on in the story where he's like, I'll rip your limb for limb. And you can actually just kind of
envision it.
It's very, very descriptive, and I guess that's what you want out of these stories if it's gonna be this way and not just be full of art, which we've kind of talked about a little bit. Yeah, the art in this is a little disappointing, but that's kind of not the main purpose here.
No, and it's not. Like you know, you see it in some of the pages where they just kind of have this kind of like two-tone color or something, but then other pages and other stories might have more color. But, I mean, it doesn't take away from the story or look of it at all. But, and you get other characters. See, the one, and then they show and talk about characters that you wish, damn, I wish I would have seen this dude. Like, they talk about the chief guard of Prison Star, who's personally, you know, was like known to He-Man, a friend of He-Man. And they said he was a huge, he's like now growing old, but still immensely strong. It's like, I wanted to see that guy so badly just to see what does this dude look like? And I like how all they kept calling him was basically the guard, the chief guard. He never got another name, but I'll let you get back to
a little more. I'll just call him Brick Shithouse. I just picture him with like long hair, but it's starting to thin in the front. Like not Hulk Hogan bad, but like it's starting to thin, and he's got like a beard to him that's starting to show a lot of discoloration where he is getting older, and they don't have.
Do you see it gray or something? Maybe his gray hair, is it long? Is it?
They don't have Just for Men in this universe, so.
No, like
and he's probably, I imagine, like on his arms and even like on his chest, he's probably got like a bunch of scars and like stab wounds and stuff. Because this dude's,
he sounds like a hardened warrior. Yeah. You know, he's taking care, he's guarding all these damn lunatics that have murdered all these people. So I guess you got to be pretty tough. And you hear how, in a way, they kind of like know their place in a way of watching out, and respecting them. But of course, they'd like to overturn on, you know, if they could. But even these lunatics know to maybe just watch their step with this chief guard, because he sounds that badass.
Yeah. I was hoping when I was reading it that they would at least have some sort of drawing of him, like kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a missed opportunity, you know, but again, that's what's so cool about this is we see all the tried and true people that we have already known, but since we don't see them, like you said, the old noggin, they respect this. You know, what the hell? We can envision what this guy could be like and do what you just did, a hypothetical theory. Same thing with me. And I also like with Faker, it's you're not getting, because you know like how Skeletor created him, how they mentioned this in here, but you're not getting a robot vibe. The whole time they said it, now again, I don't know if that's them going from maybe some series Bible stuff of like from Filmation, because yes, as the toy, you know, we see him as the blue robot, you know, but in the cartoon, you know, he's just, you know, bam, he's got the glowing eyes, but I don't even know if, you know, what's weird is I couldn't remember if his eyes ever had pupils at any point. I think it was always glowing white in the cartoon, but how they describe him, they make him sound like he has emotions and feeling, like he's sitting there clenching his fists or the thinking about the revenge. Like even though
I was actually just gonna read those couple paragraphs, if that
about Trap. Yeah, because I love that with the whole thing with Trapjaw. It's like, hey, you know, we're learning to try to get him, but go ahead, get to that.
Well, just getting back into the description of this, like, listen to this. Night fell on Prison Star. The huge complex was filled with the sounds of darkness. Prisoners groaning, shrieking, babbling, and roaring. The guards took up their positions nervously. I feel like I'm in high school again, like reading in front of the class, wondering what this night would bring. And their fears communicated themselves to the prisoners themselves. All right, that one seems a little redundant. Anyway, nobody slept on Prison Star.
Yeah.
And here it gets into the part with Faker.
In his cell,
Faker lay motionless on his iron bunk, staring at the stone ceiling. He knew. Nobody had told him in so many words, but he knew all the same. Trapjaw was going to keep his promise and help his old friend Faker to break out of this place. And when he had done that, Faker would kill him for making him wait. And not only him, but everyone who so much as looked at him. Like, that's like...
Now that is just...
That's terrifying.
Damn. Yeah. It is. That's what I mean. It's like, my God, it's like, wait, you're one of us, you know? But it doesn't matter. He's just thinking about it because he's like, he's had to wait this long. And when he does get broke out, he sounds pissed when he's confronting Trapjaw. And Trapjaw's basically saying, hey, we had to get things in order down, you know, on Eternia before we could get straight to get you out. And Faker still doesn't sound impressed. Because I can't remember the part in it, but I know when they talked with Faker and they described his eyes, just these bloodshot eyes or his glare, it's like, it's... The whole, like I said, atmosphere of this is just insane. Yeah. But it does talk about a lot of death that's happening to the guards. Now, again, you know, if they would have been drawn, picture them drawing out a whole comic of this. I mean, it would have probably looked insane. Now, am I saying death makes things better? No, but it sounded like this, with having cannon fodder, even though they're human beings and living beings, it sounded like the guards are getting killed, not the main people, because you always got to have the mainstay of your characters. I think that's why they introduce, you know, you get robots in a lot of stories later. Robots, A, they're not real, bam, you can kill them, boom. But these guards, unfortunately, were a lot of cannon fodder that, yes, did get killed, and they were descriptive of mentioning them getting killed. They didn't say, oh, they just got, you know, knocked out or put to the side. But I'll pass it back to you.
I'm already on this second page here where we have He-Man looking at Trapjaw. I'm just kind of starting to read some of it again.
Or Faker.
Well, it's just in his cell, Faker sat up slowly and listened to the row outside. I honestly get more of a vibe from Faker that he's just more human with some mechanical parts.
Yeah.
It's almost.
And I don't think, see, the thing is, I didn't read a lot of the later ones, and I didn't know how much canon they try to go from 84 annual, 85, 86, 8, all the way up. So I'm sure eventually if Faker was introduced in some of those other books, because I have them all, but I don't remember them all. But I am sure that at some point maybe they're going to make reference maybe more of him being a robot. But I could be wrong. That's the exciting part is I don't remember them all, and I like to go in order. Like I said, we can share some of the stories all the time with everybody here who maybe is, again, never heard them, and we can see how it progresses together. But this Faker definitely has more of a – bam. Okay, go ahead. I want you to describe the piece that you put up there.
We do see some of the cannon fodder here getting shot. So
yep.
There we go. I can't imagine what that feels like.
I don't know, and I like you said, at least they are showing something. I mean, we're not seeing blood and expecting blood, but you know, and the thing is, and I like how they would, obviously when a parent gives something to a kid and a kid sees it, they look over and say, okay, this isn't real, but at least let, the kids know, yes, this isn't something you should be doing, or we could condone this. But of course, we, it's fantasy, but that's the thing. Back then, we knew that this stuff wasn't real, so it wasn't, traumatizing for us. Even when, if you think about the Sunbird Legacy and He-Man decapitating that snake and you seeing blood, I wasn't even traumatized when I was a kid when I looked at it. I was like, yeah, okay, it's phony, but it's fun. But I didn't want to take a sword and go out and decapitate a person or anything after seeing that, because I know it ain't real.
Well, right now I'm kind of thinking, getting shot by a gun's going to suck anyway, a bullet getting lodged into your body, but I wonder what it'd be like to be shot by a laser gun. Is it a quicker death? I imagine that it would be.
And maybe just since it goes right through, maybe it just penetrates an instant, boom, no suffering. I don't know, there's no blood pouring out, maybe it cauterizes, I don't know.
Too, because the laser would be pretty hot. So when it's ripping through there, it would probably burn it up pretty quick. So you're not gonna bleed to death. I don't know. I think we're thinking about that too much, but
what the heck? It's just something to use your mind. But go ahead, I'll let you get to the next part too.
I went ahead and flipped it over to our last couple pages in the story, and I'm trying to find some of the passages here. Maybe Joe, you can pick them out a little bit quicker since you've read this a few more
times. I'm on the 30-second delay, so I'm still waiting for him to pop up too.
I'm trying to find one of the parts where it kind of unless we've already missed it, it sort of describes just the other guys getting mowed down and killed. We may have already
that might have been I think on some of the previous pages, but that's still no problem. But I do like how they start eventually having the people pairing up in their fights when you started seeing this, because you have Skeletor, who I couldn't remember. I think he's fighting off with Man-at-Arms, or in the prison guard is fighting off with Trapjaw, and then He-Man's.
The one description of sort of Trapjaw is sort of taken back by just how strong this dude is. So he thought it was going to be an easy kill for him, but that's not the case.
Yeah, and I even when Faker, when they had Faker at the one part, it says, Faker lumbered forward a couple of steps, immediately Man-at-Arms raised his laser gun and pointed directly at the criminal's head. And then I'm assuming it was Faker said, "Jailer rumbled the murderer, I care nothing." Or that could have been Trapjaw said, "Jailer rumbled the murderer, I care nothing for your life. Skeletor has offered me the chance to get out of this place." Oh, so it is Faker. "And if you thwart me," he said, "I will tear you to pieces with my teeth." And He-Man too, for that matter. Stand aside is like, God. Yeah. I mean, you're just picturing Faker as a ravenous lunatic. I mean, could you imagine you're grabbing and with your teeth, you're just ravenously ripping people to pieces? Like I said, they just didn't hold back. And I said that before, and I didn't mean to repeat it again. But you see that Faker and how they described it is almost a really good equal match for He-Man, because He-Man, he's getting tired. Because in one description it says He-Man's muscles were aching. He had rarely before encountered anyone as strong as this. The creature must be almost as strong as himself. So as He-Man's having this battle, the whole time there was a plan when he was talking to the one chief that he was going to call for Ram Man. So, bam, this was Ram Man's time to shine. And I thought it was kind of cool. You see how it, on the two, because it's a two-page spread, but in the one panel has the pink. But boom, then we went to color. Now you finally got the color.
It's like, oh, hey guys, the budget allowed us to have one page in full color and not in pink.
And I'm sure that could have been it. You never know. It could have been a budget issue. I never really got in depth about it, but I did like seeing that. And then, bam, he blasts into Faker. But, of course, Skeletor used his spell, the Boom, to vanish him and Faker and Trapjaw back to Eternia, where they'll have to go back and fight again as the prison, you know, the chief guard stays and watches over the prisoners, which, you know, they all respect. But there was, like, the whole thing, the whole time when I was reading this, I kept thinking, where the hell's Manny Faces? I was like, I understand.
That's the funniest part. That's the funniest part, because He-Man's like, Teela, where's Manny Faces? I thought you were both captive.
And then that's what she said, we were. Said, but when Skeletor turned him into a robot, I kept giving orders before they could, so they had to leave him behind on Eternia. So she kept, you just picture, like, bam, he turns into the robot, and then she starts giving orders and orders and orders, and since he's a robot, he has to take
I could imagine that, like, that's the way of writing. I could imagine Skeletor is like, all right, Manny Faces, we're doing this, and then Teela's, like, close enough to where she can sort of just whisper another order to him, and then, like,
could have been when he was older.
Probably, like, repeats it out loud so Skeletor can hear it, and then he's probably did that a couple times, and he's just like, all right, fuck it, we'll just leave him here. It's not worth it.
That's what I've seen. So that was the only thing the whole time you're waiting for, and I'm glad they at least acknowledge it at the end, but like I said, we didn't run it for you, because it's here so you guys could read at your leisure anytime, but this is for people that thought, see, you got two people that have different perspectives on Masters of the Universe. There's some that say it was all corny and hokey and corny and campy from the comics to the cartoon. It was all silliness in any books, which is not true. But it's also not how some people thought, oh, the original Alcala mini-comics, it was dark and evil and it was all barbaric. I was like, not really there either. It's like, yeah, you didn't have the Prince Adam and some of the other stuff, but I was like, there wasn't really a big, dark, evil tone to this at any time. And the story, since, remember, as we found out later on, when they're writing the comics, they were just writing things quickly just to get it out with the toys, to then promote a cartoon and get them into the stores. So a lot of it was kind of confusing when you read it. But this one, for those that say He-Man was all campy, corny, you can read and say, bam, there's nothing silly about this whole entire story.
It's really dark. I can imagine a young E-Talk just learning how to really read. He's up late one night. He's got the covers over him with the book. He's got a flashlight, and he's reading, and he gets to the description.
Eating an apple like the never-ending story.
Yeah, and he gets to the part with Faker where it's really just describing just how cold he is. And
pisses his pants or something and gets scared.
E-Talk starts to tremble a little bit, and then he wets himself.
Damn, James, see what's going on. But, hey, you know what's funny? They can have the right to say it. People in the UK, they can actually say, hey, the cartoon might have been slightly corny campy, which, you know, later on it was, but in the beginning it wasn't. But as for the stories, these stories were dark and evil. So not our little Alcala comics. I want somebody to go back and read the first four Alcala mini comics and then read this and tell me which one is really dark and evil, because this takes the cake. And remember, this is just one story. There's many more in that 84 annual, and then they had more, you know, books coming on later, but there was like a multitude. I couldn't remember if there was 6 to 8 stories. There was quite a few in this book.
Quite a few that they crammed into each one. And after reading this, Joe, honestly, I'm probably gonna go and check out the other stories, because that was a lot of fun. And I guess too, if you guys want to check these out and you don't want to try to eBay and find the books for yourself, all the pages were scanned and they're on he-man.org, which is where I got these from. So thanks to the org for having those readily available on their site.
No doubt. So I'm glad you got to enjoy that. I'm glad those who have never seen this got to enjoy it, and those who may haven't seen it in years, well, hey, they got to read it again and have some old memories and maybe pop out their books after all these years. But there's a lot more stories coming. That's just one. That's just one out of a lot. And they even, like I said, what I like about some of these UK things, it seems like they expand on a lot of the, again, first this was some of the Filmation Bible stuff, and then even some of the things that were used for their, like the promotional, you know, images, and have description of the characters. And I don't know if that would be considered a character profile Bible. I don't know what category you throw it under, but I remember getting Wonder Bread cards for like things talking about Rio Blast and Snout Spout. and things that weren't in the mini comics for those characters. Well, they obviously, that came from some of the style, oh, that's a style guide. It just came back to my style guide type of stuff. So they even got that and expand upon that later on with other stories, whether it was this or some of the UK magazines, not just the annuals. So, but yeah, so we'll transition from that. Like I said, great story. Hope you guys enjoyed.
Whoa,
go ahead.
Why did these not get released in the States? What?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know if, like I said, well, somebody first, like Femon said, UK had looser censorship rules. So maybe some of these stories that they're writing, they thought, I don't know if it flowed over here, but it does suck because, man, it's like my eyes were open to another world when I got on the internet and I seen not only these, but the multitude of all them damn UK magazines that, again, had at least three stories per magazine. It's like a magazine slash comic. I say magazine, but it's basically just a big comic. And they had that in the UK, and I know some stuff in Italy and Germany. And I know a lot of things went from one country to another. And if Grimbot was there or anybody else, they could correct me. But I know that some things got from here to there. But we never got any of those. And remember, even though it's old, you ain't read it. It's new to you. Yeah. So, and it was new to me. Like, all these things from the UK and the other countries, they're fantastic. And it sucks that we haven't got them. And I'd hope that someday that maybe Dark Horse could put those into a big compendium. You know, talk about compendium books or a big book. Those would be great sellers. That,
I mean, yeah, and you could even title it as, like, I don't know. They have a tendency when we get stuff finally released in the U.S. that had been in other countries for so long. They call it, like, the lost whatever. And I'm just like, eh, that's kind of funny. So I can just imagine Joe, too, getting on the internet, and he's like, oh, wait, there's more MOTU stuff out there? See what it did there, Joe?
What MOTU stuff?
MOTU.
I caught that.
Yeah. MOTU, MOTU. He's like, oh, wait, there's more Master stuff out here. There's more He-Man stuff? Oh, wow. And then he reads that and then just, like, goes in. What was, like, a popular search engine? Were we all kind of, like, using Yahoo and, like, Ask Jeeves and all that stuff? I just imagine he goes to one of those and just types in boobs. And just tries to find
it. I'm trying to think of what I had. I don't even know how search engines or what I did at first. Like I told you, when I first got online, it was through my Sega Dreamcast. Because you could, once you had internet service, you could go online through it. So, yeah, that's what was great. And you didn't have to pay for any extra kind of thing, you know, like a subscription like PlayStation or some other stuff. It was just, you got an internet provider, and then bam, you just went online with the Dreamcast. I was freaking out, oh my God, because I didn't have a computer. And I know people had computers, of course, by then. And I used to wait. I had such, you think this is a slow provider. You know where I had my provider service from? Because I'm bizarre. It was from Family Video. And I would pay $7.99 a month. And I would actually be crossing my fingers as I would go on with my Dreamcast. Because it would be so like saying connecting, and it would do the spinning. And Nathan, I'm not exaggerating. I'd be sitting there 10 minutes, and then finally, come on, like yes.
I'm right there with you. Back in the day when we had dial-up internet, and you'd have to wait for it to connect, and it would make all that weird, annoying sound that everyone has nostalgia for. I eventually found a way to turn that off, so I didn't have to listen to it anymore. But yeah, I remember how it would take just to load one JPEG. It would take 30 seconds or so. It was quite bad. And you go to find out, like, you're paying for what is supposed to be 56K internet. But depending on the computer that you had and how old it was, it would only go to a certain speed. So, like, my first computer would only connect to, like, 28.8 or something. I'm like, well, that's really disappointing. And then my friend, who was a little more computer savvy than I was at the time, be like, no, this is why not. Okay, whatever. But yeah, man, searching
yeah,
for
said
stuff
it was
on
one
Yahoo,
of the things.
Actually using Internet Explorer. How times have changed. Tyler,
that sounds so familiar.
Tyler,
God, I might have had
Tyler
that.
Always had AOL, and
it kind of blew my mind.
I'm like, dude, you're using AOL? Like, don't do that. He's like, why? It's easy. I can just click on this and we're ready to go. I'm like, yeah, but okay. All right.
My thing was so bad before we get to some of our thoughts for 2020, which this story will lead into going to some stuff. But one more thing about that Dreamcast. You know, I couldn't see video or hear sound or anything like when I'd go to any sites. But when I went to He-Man.org, out of all things, the first sounds I heard of a website was on He-Man.org. And I think it's when they got the the voice clip file of Cam Clark for the new MYP Masters of the Universe cartoon, when you could hear a sampling of him saying, "By the power of Grayskull," and I kept hitting the button on my controller. I was like, so excited. Oh, wow, it's sound. Oh, it's so sad, Nathan. Jesus yeah. Christ.
Hey, yeah. Hey, but at least we know where we came from internet-wise, and we can appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to Definitely. To be so there we know as where everything came. Just sort of got faster and better.
Exactly. No, it is true. So like I said, we know where we came from, and well, I guess it kind of leads to where we'd like to go, what we'd like to see in the future when it comes to 2020 and Masters of the Universe. Like, what are our, you know, the expectations for figures, for cartoons, for comics? I would like to say, at least anything from this as an example, the story from this way back in 84, 83, 84, however you want to say the years, for the fight for Prison Star, is give kids a chance to use their imaginations. Please don't insult them by just making everything comical, silly, and think that's all they want. Even though, yes, maybe that's what you're putting out, and obviously they're going to watch because that's all they have to watch. But don't treat them like kids. Treat them like little people yeah. and individuals that have minds, to use their imaginations. Be creative, because that's what lends yourself to be a creative person when you get older. If you don't have a chance to use it, you're watching just junk and silliness, you're never going to know what could really be great. What could I write that could be great? So I'd hope, whether it's coming from comics or whether it's coming from cartoons, use stuff like this for an example. I mean, especially when it comes to comics. This showed that, yes, we didn't see all the death, decapitations, killings, whatever, even though, yes, we've seen one little blast. It shows also, yes, there could be killing, there could be violence, but it also doesn't have to be over the top like we've seen in the past couple years with some things with Masters of the Universe. What's like, let's kill off all the established characters, or let's make things gross. Let's have people being ripped in half. It's like, it's not necessary. Blood and extra violence doesn't mean it's more adult, you know, adult-like. Yeah. It just means you're going for the wow factor, the shock factor. So this is a perfect example how you can do stuff to where it can be for kids, for adults, and anybody yeah. can enjoy it. But I'll pass
well,
it to you.
It's a balance that a lot of people, I think, need to strive more for, especially when you're going to have a property that you're wanting to bring kids into to enjoy. Like, don't insult their intelligence. Kids are smarter than most people give them credit for, and they're some of the yeah. the most honest people on the planet. I remember as a kid I would tell people the truth, and sometimes it wasn't nice. Anyway, I think that there is also a fine line with humor and comedy. Like, it has its time and its place, but if you want to tell good stories too, let there be stakes. Let them know that, hey, like, out there in the real world, like, stuff can be this way, and stuff isn't always sunshine and rainbows. Like, make it a way to make kids actually think more about life itself too. Maybe that's going a little too far, but I think if you're real with kids, they'll appreciate it a lot more.
No, and it's I mean, it's true. But also with the other thing is, with especially stories like Masters of the Universe, Princess of Power, remember that it's a world of fantasy. So let us escape to these worlds. Let us make it feel like, you know, we have just stepped out of Earth into a whole other reality and dimension of places of fantastical creatures and places and powers and abilities, stuff that's not here. So again, don't make everything so relatable. Don't make it just like, oh, because they're kids, they can relate to this, or real life world issues. It's not necessary. I mean, look at what we just read. I didn't feel any Earth vibes at all. You know, you're not getting that from this story, but just don't give us all the stuff that they think kids need to hear. Trust me. Let a kid yeah. be a kid. Don't have them grow up too quickly to where you're putting too much, you know, agendas, nonsense, politics, yeah. crap, and just real life stuff. Oh, I got grounded. Yeah, I want to be reminded about being yeah, grounded in a damn cartoon. Yeah. No, I don't.
It's a fine line in terms of entertainment wise. Now, you can stretch it out in different ways if you're doing a different medium. Like, if you're doing a novel, then yeah, that opens up their mind more. But I don't know. I think one thing I definitely want to see, since we're going to have two shows and eventually a movie, maybe Hollywood, it's okay to have fan service and show the appreciation to all the people that have kept your property alive, but don't rely on it so much to a fault that if you decide you want to try to do something different, it's going to completely alienate them and take them out, and then they got to... I'm thinking about Star Wars right now, actually, because The Force Awakens, lots of fan service. It was refreshing to a fault, and then they're like, all right, well, here's this. Here's our new thing, and a lot of people didn't care much for The Last Jedi. I'm one of those people. Didn't go see Rise of Skywalker. But from what I gather, it's a lot of like, oh, well, they didn't like that more, the fan service. And by then, those guys are like, well, now you're just like pandering to us to try to bring us back in. Find that balance. Make it work. Don't do anything too stupid that are going to piss off your established fan base, but don't cater to it as much either, because...
No, there's got to be that medium. You're right. There's got to be equal medium. But yeah, definitely. I mean, when you're bringing back properties that have been around in a while, but you know there are still fans that are keeping this alive, at least stay close to the source material. Don't just go so far removed from it to where nothing has the essence or feel of what you remembered. It's like, no, you got to have these characters at least looking similar, have the same type of objective, powers, whatever, abilities. But yes, you can up it. I've always said it before, like when they did the MYP cartoon, it was recognizable. Every character, the story, abilities, but bam, it's like now it's introducing new characters, but new stories, new problems and obstacles, and it can work. But yeah, don't just deviate so far from source material that it's not enjoyable, because yes, you've lost all the original fans then, or a good chunk of them, and the new fans that you're hoping will get aboard, they're so far, you know, few and far between, they're barely even existing. Like, they're not caring about it. There's not many that are enjoying it. So it's like, okay, you didn't bring in the new fans, and you lost almost all the original fans. So like you said, you don't have to pander to us. And again, they don't have to give so much fan service, but at least stay close to what we remembered, and we'll be there. We'll be grateful. You know, it's, I know they keep wanting to say, yes, you got to get a new generation. Yes, I understand and hope that, but it's a different world we're in now, because back when we were growing up, the ages we are now, for people that were back then, it was almost considered silly for somebody to like a kiddie cartoon and toys and comics. Now, it's like part of just culture. Anybody of any age can like a cartoon, a comic, so it's like, you better rethink what you've been, you know, trying to, you know, get out there, thinking it's just got to be kids. No, kids, yes, get a new generation, but don't think that we're going to feel embarrassed to read a comic or go to a movie. Look at the top damn movies that have been happening in the years. Yeah. Who would have thought that in the top 100 of grossing movies, almost all of them are based off of comics or fantasy or something. And that's not all kids seeing it. The good majority is adults that are going to see it too.
And I'm going to go off on a little bit of a different tangent for a second, but because all of this has become way popular, the convention scene has drastically changed. You can ask anyone that used to go to San Diego or some of their other older favorite conventions how now it's just like overloaded with not only people, fake fans, which is a whole other topic in of itself, and like, because, oh, we can make money at these things now. So everyone's got their paw in the pot for these things. And I guess I bring this up for 2 points. One, now that it's become way more popular and there's going to be way more people there, I want to stress again, if you're planning to go to one of these conventions, take a shower. Wash your ass. Don't
wash
stink.
Your ass?
Everyone's going to smell it. Everyone's going to smell you. So,
smells like Cheetos and depression. It's bad.
I've gone to some of these things on a Saturday, and by the time I leave, I'm just like, man, it smells like ass and corn chips in here, and I like, can't get away from the smell until I get outside. Just wash your ass.
And that's, you know, think of that, the big ones. Yeah, I'm going to, like I said, just little ones, because where I live, we never had nothing, but a couple years ago, we finally started getting something. So we'd have these like little mini convention stuff, and when I walked in, it's like you can feel the air.
Yeah,
it's like
you in the face.
You know, it's like I shouldn't be able to.
Yeah, you can't
like,
see it,
damn,
but it's definitely right there. And the other thing, the other thing I want to bring up about it is, to those celebrities that do attend these things, two things. I know you guys can charge the prices that you want to charge and add photo ops and make people pay out the ass. First thing, be nice, or at least be somewhat polite. People are paying money to come see you, and you're just raking in the cash. Be nice. Don't be an asshole. The other thing is keep prices steady. Like, I know some people aren't as famous as they used to be, and then some people, like, jump back up into fame. And the reason I bring this up is because Carl Weathers got announced for a convention that's local to Tyler and myself down in North Carolina. And his agent had told them a certain price, which this is going to, all right, for an 8x10, it's $60. I'm like, all right, whatever. If he personalizes it, then I would be okay with that. Anything else, any other item that you bring, be it a poster, boxing gloves, whatever, $100. And this wasn't the case. 8x10 is still 60, but it's been corrected. If you were to bring a poster, boxing gloves, a fake hand like he had in Happy Gilmore, $300. No. I'm sorry, Carl. I'm sorry, really? Carl Weathers. I know that now you're on The Mandalorian and you're all, like, back in the limelight, and you said the thing to Baby Yoda and ha ha ha, whatever. Ridiculous. $300 is way too damn much for something that I imagine you would go to, and he might be a total sweetheart, and if he is, good on him, but $300 is too much. Or he could be the worst case scenario. You just go up, he kind of grumbles, oh, what's your name, kid? Writes it down, you ask him to personalize it, say a quote on the thing, oh, I can't do that. It's $300. Yeah, you can. Holy shit.
I'll be honest. I mean, again, at my conventions, but real quick, me, Howard with Fox. Thanks for joining us in here, because we'll be getting to the Q&A right here in a second. But at my conventions, we never really had big celebrities, so I don't know it. I know it's like the guy who wrote this comic or wrote and was one of the seven writers from this series. So we have never had big celebrities around here. I think the biggest thing we had was that damn Ecto-1 that's probably one of 100 that goes around every convention. Yeah. And then all these Ghostbusters that are just cosplayers that are standing there. I've never went up to anybody to get an autograph, so I have no clue what those prices were like until you just said it now. And that's, as you know, anything over like 10, 20 bucks is too much in Joe's world, so I'll never get an autograph.
That's the thing, too. The first time that I went to a convention was at the same one that he's going to be appearing at next month. And this was maybe 7 years ago. And when I went, a decent amount of high-profile people in the horror genre. They weren't charging crazy prices. It would be like $20, $30, but you're getting a picture with them at their table and the autograph, personalized on your item that you brought if you want, or an 8x10. Some of these people, I would go the next year if they were brought back, or the year after when they waited and brought them back, and their prices had already jumped up by $20. And I'm like, well, what's the difference between now and then? And what had happened is during this time, as the popularity goes, they know that they can show up and make more money off of people. And I think that's where the fans have to draw a line and just be like, no, like that's way too much. So speak with your wallets. Either don't go or don't get an autograph from them, or go get one from someone that's not charging. Riku Browning, who was in the suit for all the underwater scenes as the Gill Man and Creature from the Black Lagoon, $20. For an autograph and a picture.
Okay.
Both for $20. And that dude's like a legend. He's like the last of the golden age of Universal Monsters. Right? Sweetheart of a guy. You go over to Pauly Shore, pay him $60, and he barely talks to you. All right. Sorry. I'm getting on this.
I feel bad for you because, I couldn't even imagine. All I know is like when I'd get into the one convention around here, I think it was like $10 to go in for the day. So I'm thinking, damn, I already got rid of $10 I could be spending on maybe some old figures or parts or something. So I really got to watch my money. But I guess for people that got tons of money, they can go get a ticket, they can go get all their autographs.
Hey, you Ghostbuster guy, are you done eating that half the sandwich? You don't want any more, right? Can I have it? That cost me $10 to get in here.
You gonna eat that? I can't remember what was that. I don't know if it was one of the police academies where the one guy grabbed like a chocolate bar off a. And that was it. It was the big cop that was with Mahoney, and I think it was maybe in part two, where he was walking and he said, "Look at that! Look at this!" And he said, "Somebody has a half-eaten chocolate bar. It was covered in ants, and he's still eating it." Oh God, I was thinking, is that me? Am I that guy? What's up, Dan Rice? But Well, we'll take any questions from you guys now.
Anything else, too, before we started answering some of the stuff of other things that you would like to see. Oh, the case ratios. Don't just give me He-Man and Skeletor. Oh, yeah. I don't want to see those clogging up the shelves after everyone's bought one. Like, make those
good.
Make those
and that's what, yeah, from
better,
earlier.
Mattel.
Yeah, in 2020, yeah, because that's what I want to build upon when you said it earlier. You're right, when it comes to, I mean, anything, but especially when it comes to Masters, since, you know, it's not so established or has the name of Batman or Superman where it can, you know, take the chance of having 20 variants of, you know, like their main characters. Like, no, don't do what you did with the 2000X stuff where you had four He-Mans, one Oracle, one Man-at-Arms, four Skeletors, one Beast-Man, one Evil-Man, whatever. No, make them even, because I know they say, well, you got to get out the main good guy and the main bad guy. Like, yeah, I guess so, but you know we need to get these others because it's so hard, because then what's going to happen? It'll start clogging, because that's what happened with the 2000X, just flooded with them Spin and Smash and other things of He-Man, Skeletor. It's like, Jesus. So yeah, hopefully they'll take a nod of the past, not only from He-Man, but from other properties they've done, and just, you're right, even case pack ratios, make it nice. And then if they keep selling, then keep replenishing, and people keep coming to buy. But the second the flooding and that starts clogging up the shelves, it's going to start causing an issue.
Yeah, and then they're going to be like, well, it's not successful. Better pull the plug.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like, I just always think of that with back in the 2000X. Like, every other damn characters, I've never seen them. People were like vultures. Like, well, I was one. If I'd see it, I'd snatch it up too. My dad had a huddle over the ones that he got to make sure nobody did it. It was when I was at work, and it was towards the end of the line, and out of all places, Aldi's. I don't even know how many people know what
That's
an Aldi's
grocery
is.
Store.
But it's just a grocery store and kind of discounted stuff, you know, and not the most expensive things. They were getting the Rise of the Snake Man, some of the last waves, at an Aldi's. I seen an ad in the paper. I'm at work, and I was telling my dad, I was like, you think you'd be able to go over there on Monday to see if they got them? So he went there while I'm at work. I came home for lunch. Bam, hit a giant bag with everything. I was like, you found them? He's like, yeah, I found them. He was like, but it was crazy. And I said, why is that? He's like, I go up there, and I'm looking for every one you said, every time there's somebody new or different. And I had a stack, and I had them all next to me still going through. And this lady comes up, and she's looking, and then she grabs my pile. He's like, hey, that's my pile of stuff. She's like, but I need that figure. He's like, I don't care what you need. This is my pile of stuff. So they have a fight. Boom. So, you know, it happens when you can't get the stuff. So that was the last great haul, was at Aldi's of all places. Wish I still had a damn ad. But if you want, we'll try to get to some of the comments.
Well,
I don't know where we'll pick up.
There is
please.
One I want to mention here. JSP said, speaking with your wallet is what you should be doing with the Masters of the Universe Classics market. And you're absolutely right. Like, I didn't like spending those prices when I was trying to obtain some of the characters that are higher priced. I would try to find ones that people were bidding on and kind of set a price to myself of, this is my limit. I'll stop here. If it goes past that, I'm not going to worry about it. And, you know, a modest collection, which gets into what Adam Gabbert wanted you to ask me, what I have displayed that are MOTU related, is I have...
That's Masters of the Universe related?
Yeah, MOTU, Joe. I got one of those IKEA Detolf glass cases, and I got classics on a few of those. I got Slime Pit and Castle Grayskull and some other stuff sitting up there. I'm not going to get the camera moved around. It'll make everybody kind of nauseous.
You don't want to have a Joe moment? Hey, wait, I shouldn't have said nothing. Have you noticed nothing happened this episode? So, of course, I've been trying to hold my arms.
So far. And then over here on this shelf, you know, I got, like, Stinkor, Jitsu, Zodak. Just a few smattering of some of the vintage figures that my parents have found at various flea markets and yard sales over the last probably 2 years. Oh yeah, and I do have the commemorative Trapjaw that I bought from JSP. I think that was last year.
Cool.
If I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I got a few things. It's nothing crazy like a Tyler setup or Joe setup. I got some more vintage figures that are actually upstairs in the basement. I got like a Battle Cat. There's a Teela up there, Cyclone.
Bring them up. Yeah. Get them in with the shelf. But yeah, as for classics, you know, that was the thing when, of course, when it was first coming out and everything, pretty much almost anybody that will, when it was coming out in the head for the fans, they would kind of sell out quickly when they had it, you know, like, boom, we're going to put it online. They started selling out quicker and quicker. And then coincidentally, a lot of these figures that were supposed to have sold out then popped up at Big Lots for $10. So I didn't get what was happening there. But I always said it even back then. I was like, you guys can't possibly think that all Masters of the Universe fans that exist know about this, you know, this line. They don't. Not everybody is going to go to the websites right. or the pages. Yes, they might be He-Man fans, but they still might not know about it. And still you find it to any group. Even to this day you go to, somebody like, what's this line? They don't even know. And now that they're known there's a new line, it's just start, man, the prices are jacking up. Characters that were super cheap are now super expensive. And ones that were pricey are even pricier. So, I mean, you know, like JSP was saying, maybe just, you know, speak with your wallet, not buy. But there's always going to be the people that just have that money, that impulse, are going to get it. And so everybody's going to just think that's the set price. And sadly, it might even go higher. But I'm with you. It'd be nice if things could go down. But sure doesn't seem like it. Papa Huds was saying, any new customs? I have some that I'm finishing up for people, some that was for a very long time. But finally, getting back to that, since life around here is getting a little bit back to normal, thank God. So, thanks. But yeah, thanks for that.
As Joe's life is starting to get back to normal, mine might not be here in a couple weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, we'll hope the best for you. So definitely. Let me see. Dan Rice said, aside from Oppenheimer, who would you pay top dollar for now that Stan Lee's gone?
Well, I've been around Oppenheimer a couple times. I was there with the infamous story of Tyler asking him to sign this long quote, and he looked at him and was like, I can't do that. And it kind of crushed Tyler and kind of was sort of the beginnings of the end of Tyler even wanting to go to conventions anymore, because he used to be all about going to these things and being super excited. But then once the prices started going up for people and celebrities were just being kind of grumpy, when
it can be heartbreaking. I mean, you know, like you said, whether it's prices going up or somebody not signing, you know, when you're just saying, could you do this? And they look at you like you're insane. It kind of makes you think, Jesus, you know, somebody I've idolized for years, you know, and I've appreciated all the work they've done. And that's what they did back. I mean, that can not only give you a sour taste, but it kind of crushes you in a way. And that could suck. I couldn't even imagine. And that's what was great about Thomas Guerra. He's, you know, he does the Thundercast podcast, and he does a lot of stuff for Thundercats, and he was able to get an autograph from Oppenheimer to get to Tyler. So that was cool years later. But well, let me see. I don't pay top dollar for nothing because I'm too cheap, Dan, but thank you for that. You know me, I'm cheap as hell. Mihawar the Fox said, my limit is usually 40 bucks, but I prefer 20 to 30. See, it's in a range. I could do 20. I don't know if I could do 30. I think that's the most reasonable. The best deals are when getting your own item signed is free.
I've never gotten anything at least if you're bringing your own item, that the price would be slightly reduced. I'm not asking for much. Maybe they could have it, but then people would find that and be like, hang on, I got this envelope right here, you can sign that, right? Oh yeah, sure.
It would be great, though. It was funny, is then everybody was saying they all remember, they having all these, love all these. And Zen Brown said, they all these down here don't sell brand name shit. Well, no, you're usually going to all these. No. You don't have Pringles.
We actually have an Aldi's near us. I've only been in it one time, and I'm like, all right, yeah, that's a thing. I would need to go back just to see what they have.
I'm going to tell you what. And I'll let you know that, I mean, you and also Zen Brown, some things can be good, because while they didn't have the Pringles, they had these by Clancy's. It's a can. And they have their cheddar Pringles, Clancy brand. They're real, like, kind of crunchy. Clancy, but damn, Clancy, they're good. Brown? They're cheap. No, not Clancy Brown, but Clancy's. And it's good stuff. So I highly recommend getting Clancy's, you know, knockoff Pringles. They're pretty good. They're weird. They kind of sucks when you first eat it, but the more you start eating, it's like, hey, you know, that ain't bad. Like, there was some really bad, there was a bad knockoff hot fries from the Andy Capps, how they have hot fries and cheddar fries.
I love Andy Capps fries, man.
They had an off-brand one time. It was so long ago, I can't remember the name, but when I ate it, it tasted like somebody took Wheat Chex or something and put it into a stick. And like Frosted Flakes or some of those bran flakes, and just do a stick and season them. And it was like eating cereal. It was really bad. But after I got into 30 of them, they became addicting. Then I started liking them. Then they got rid of them.
I can see that. Joe, even if it's bad, Joe's going to eat it. He's like, I paid money for this. Damn it. I'm not throwing it away.
I don't know if that's a mental thing. You know, you just can't afford some things and you want to think they're good, or am I really that bad to where I start acquiring taste from bad stuff? And I know you're going to say, well, you're the guy that eats bugs and leaves and garbage. it's something.
Yeah, I liked how when I was doing my video game stream and you popped in there and you were like, I was eating. The first thing everyone was like, well, what was he eating? What could it have possibly have been? Joe eats anything.
Okay. I'm not going to talk about my food. I do eat anything, though. You're right. Femma said, does Joe's dad know what Joe's face looks like? Did Joe come out of the womb wearing the mask? That's a possibility. Let's see. I got to scroll a little bit. Zen Brown said, Joe with a trap jaw mask would be awesome. Well, like I said, I'm going to get back to my Modulok mask here in a bit once I can do that. JSB said, guys, check your Facebook Messenger. It's a little bit He-Man related. We'll do that. Gary Buchanan says, love classics, even the new ones. I'm just trying to see if I missed anything. He said, I should paint, a lot of people said that, Zen Brown says, I should paint this skull, make it look like Skeletor's. It was a thought, but I thought, you know what? I like this. It's its own thing. It's kind of original. I figured, you know, I know it can look like Skeletor, but I don't want to feel like I turned this into Skeletor and when I do the other podcast have Skeletor. This will be mainly usually for Beyond Retro, and then Modulok will return because I got to do that. I just have to create another mask. Dan Rice said, see, I only learned about classics 3 years ago while waiting on new Transformers. Yeah. So what I mean is just so many people had no clue. You know, you just go into a group like, wow, look at that, because the majority of groups I'm in, even being created now, still usually focus on vintage He-Man. Collecting the vintage merchandise. They just love the vintage merchandise and figures. And this is, I mean, like, you know, the classics, which you don't see, it's almost an afterthought in a lot of the groups. But there are groups that are centric, focused right on classics. But it's usually just vintage. And sadly, the 2000 X stuff doesn't ever really have any focus at all. And they have so many new, the sculpts are all, you know, pretty unique and amazing. Even though some had that hunch look a lot of people didn't like, but especially when they hit Stactions. Those are some of the most overlooked and awesome pieces. Yes, I highly recommend going on eBay and finding some of those Stactions.
A lot of those look really, really awesome. I'm kind of curious, too, like, once the Origins line comes out and some of these people that were like, I'm not buying those. I feel like once they see them on the shelf, they're going to be like, okay, and you should, because, I mean, they look cool. And with the articulation, I think I'm probably going to go ahead and just bite the bullet and just go ahead and pick those up. That way I'm actually starting a line of something MOTU related at the beginning.
Masters of the Universe related? Yes, Joe, that would be good to have MOTU. Something Masters of the Universe related. But, and that is good. Start it from the beginning. Because, you know, what's, again, something I always brought up is, some people, yes, classics is their definitive line. Some it's the vintage, but then there's the others that I've seen that they used to take the vintage. I didn't do this. I do different things with customs, but they were adding extra articulation, funny enough, before classics came out. So for those fans who've been wanting vintage-style figures with a little more articulation, they're going to get it. So it's the perfect mix. Like I said, you're getting the best of both worlds between vintage and classics with the new Origin lines that comes out. And I hope it really takes off. Like I said, I hope it can reignite the fans that haven't been around in a while, the fans who have always loved vintage, and then maybe the people that like classics will like it too. You just, you know, again, you're not going to please every one of the fan base, but hopefully it's enough to where it sells well, it bodes well for Masters, and then with the cartoons and stuff, maybe it can really create a bright future. You can hope.
I was just going to say, one can hope for.
Yeah, and no, definitely, definitely. And Adam Gabbert said, what about Scaregirl's House on Facebook? Yep, that's a great group. You can go there. They're always posting lives. I post some lives there and stuff. And
I think
it's a good.
I think he was asking if you were doing anything live from Scaregirl's House, like tonight after the show, like you've been doing.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That'll probably, no, tomorrow maybe. Tomorrow or Tuesday, but not tonight. Tonight after this. Yeah, that's it for me for any of the online streaming or anything. But thanks for that, Adam. Zen Brown said he'd probably pay top dollar to meet Mark Taylor. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, he's somebody that, I could. Yeah, if there's the money that I had and somebody I'd like to pay top dollar, I agree with you. Mark Taylor, that would be fantastic. I mean, the stuff that he's created, that if it wasn't for him, you think, what would we have and what would things look like? So, yes, definitely Mark Taylor. JSP said Lou Ferrigno charges more to sign items. I've never seen him in person.
Ferrigno's prices either. Were a little steep. I think Tyler was wanting to go get a picture with him, but didn't have enough money. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah, I guess that is expensive. And yes, knockoff Pringles is not fancy, but it's Clancy. I like that, Keldor. Joe, how spoiled does something have to be before you trash it?
He'll pick the mold off. It's still good.
No. No, if it's spoiled milk, I'm not going to have spoiled milk. If it's just like with those damn jelly beans, if it's rotten fish, I won't have Joe doing that
because if you guys haven't seen Joe almost throw up live on camera, make sure you go to the Beyond Retro channel and check out when we did the Bean Boozled Challenge.
Yeah, it's bad. So when there's bad things, I'm not going to eat it. But, I mean, if there's something sitting around for a bit and it could be iffy, I'll sniff it, give it a little taste, and it's good. It's good. I'll still do it. Zentron said, did you ever play Samba de Amigo on Dreamcast? And I know that was the one with the maracas. Yeah. I never did. I did some of the fishing games. What other games did I do that was kind of with something unique or different? Oh, I hate it when I forget something. There was a game with this interactive fish. I still haven't had a microphone where you can talk to him.
And he would look at you. It was so creepy. Called Semen?
I think it might have been Semen, which you got mocked. But it was creepy. And I remember having that interactive mic how it kind of would evolve. Yeah. But it was spooky
to me.
The name of the game was Semen.
Yeah. S-E-A-M-A-N.
Yeah. That just does you like done. So I actually stopped playing the game because it was just creepy to me. So I still got semen. Well, whatever. I was going to show you. Never mind. I could show you later, if you want me to,
I can go ahead and just I'll pop up an image of what this game. I heard about this game because I got a Dreamcast when it was relatively new as well. And I never got this game. Yeah, let me get this on here.
It's innovative, but I'll admit it was unique to where you could talk with this thing, but it just lost its appeal. Plus, like I said, just to see this thing, and especially when it moved back and forth and when it really got your attention and looked at you, and I thought it started understanding language almost like how a Furby would, but more advanced or something. So yeah, when you put it up on the screen, because I'm still on 30 seconds, that's it. That was just... there you go. That fits you perfect. So there, you squeeze that a little more, and you could be the semen for the rest of the episode. Right. Or there we go.
I'll be the semen, and this is why the show is for 18 years or older most of the time.
Yeah, that's different. But thanks for that.
I like how you're just like, oh well, thank you.
It's just weird, bizarre. Dan Rice did say, so you could keep it on you the whole time. You got semen on your face. Dan Rice said, vintage is cooler anyways. You're right, Dan Rice. I like vintage.
This show's gone off the rails now.
Zen Brown, that's it. We're downhill now. When you get semen on your face, it's like you're downhill. It's over. This podcast is done. Tyler flipped the table. He's like, no, he's like, I'm not here for the show. See you guys. Zent Brown said, don't forget to try the He-Man pancake that we tagged you in earlier. Hey, show the, was it Galactus that made that pancake or something? There was an image. Yeah, I'll have to, I'll try anything, Zent Brown. Gary Buchanan said, had we known we would have bought Castle Grayskull at $300 instead of $1,500. Yeah, that I'll admit, I did not think that Classics Castle Grayskull would go nuts because I figured, hey, everybody knows about it, but like I said, not everybody did, and bam, everything goes up. Adam Gabbard, the package for Scareglow's house with a package coming. Yep, nothing yet, but when it does, I'll be in Scareglow's house. Zentron said, I've seen a few Facebook groups using my reproductions of the Crystal Castle and Castle Grayskull images. Yeah, you have to tag me in those. I don't know if I checked them out, Zentron. I have to see. And FedMon has a question for you, Nathan. He's like Nathan Arcade, preferably with the original duo.
What team? Retro Arcade, playing video games. Oh. No, yeah, not tonight. Oh, but, I guess. Definitely look for that in a couple weeks to be more of a frequent thing.
Okay. Yeah, I got to see. You're good at playing games sometimes. Dan Rice said Alex has the mask, and I think he's referring to my mask. Let's go. So Alex at least has a mask. I got to get my Modulok mask remade. That's a perfect plug, yeah. Nathan.
And then
that's
it just what Zen Brown said. Sega Basket. That thing's creepy, and the name is weird. And
yeah. Oh, Zentron. No, it's Zentron. Just to let you know, no, I wasn't doing the Sega Bass fishing. I was using it with I think it might have been Sonic Adventure, and it was where you would fish, and you'd have to, you know, see who got the biggest fish. And yeah, I used to play the fishing in Sonic Adventure, so that's what I did. And yeah, that game is nightmare fuel, that semen. Meow Ruth Fox said, guessing some of you have never been to PowerCon. Everyone's prices are pretty reasonable. No, I never have. Yeah, and it is good to hear, because I think within our community, we know what prices most things should be. So you won't see the scalp. Again, I don't like saying the term scalp. And I mean, there's people on eBay that if they can get that high price, again, that's good for them. More power to them. But yeah, in the close-knit communities, if somebody knows a price is usually something, they'll keep it at that. And sometimes, just by being friends, I know that everybody's really close. You talk. Sometimes people even give you a discount. Then I know that's what they do there. I've never been there, but stories I've heard, and that is great to hear.
I was going to say, again, if anyone, classic Scareglow or any some of those higher-priced ones, if you want to send me one or give me a bro price on it.
He's like, please. Please. And Zentron, I got my Dreamcast on the day of release too, and if I'm not mistaken, Nathan could do a Google search to correct me, but I believe it was $9.99.
I don't need to look that up. I know when that came out. Yeah.
Oh, you remember that too? Yeah. Oh, I was waiting in line, and I think it was at a place called, I don't know if they called it Funko Land.
God, it was FUNCO.
Oh man.
Funko Land.
Yeah, oh man, just waiting in line, and I was like, I think the second person there, somebody ahead of me, it was real early, and the trucks were late, so we're waiting like another hour and a half, and we were outside, but then they said, okay, we'll bring at least the first 20 of you guys inside and wait for the truck to come, so the other people were still out there, because it was cold, it was just a cold damn day, and it was just early, so we're waiting inside, and finally it came in, and then they're opening everything fresh, okay, we got this, and I remember getting ready to rumble, and Sonic Adventure, oh my god, was ready to rumble, an awesome game, still is, that was an awesome game, good time.
Christmas 99 and the games that I got, because I was a little more in the sports games back then, I got NFL 2K, NBA 2K, and Ready to Rumble, but my Ready to Rumble had that problem with the disc, where it would just glitch up, so I had to go and return that and get another.
Oh, yeah, you had a glitch!
Thank God I didn't have that. Like once you would get to the character select and pick your character, the game would just freeze up on me. So and it kept doing that over and over and over again. So I went and got a replacement, and I should have gotten more games for that when I was out because I. Yeah.
So many good ones. I just love powering up. When you go Rumble, I used to be Raging Rivera, and I love going nuts with that guy, especially when you just, boom, got that Rumble and go crazy. Yep. What a good-ass game. Michael Buffer did the announcing, I think, for that, too.
He's very weird. I think people that stream that game on the internet, I think he seeks them out because he's very protective of him saying that catchphrase, which is a thing. Okay. So don't say it, Joe.
Well, hey, people. Yeah, okay, I won't say it. All right, no more of that. Grim said, "Gah," and I think he meant when you put the semen on the screen. Yeah, have a good night, Adam Gabbard. Everybody, the comments is like, "What the hell?"
It's a weird idea and a weird name for a game. I'm sure the marketing was incredible. Go on YouTube and search if there were any commercials or anything. I'm sure it was very tongue in cheek and. Yeah. All right.
Very, very interesting. Could you imagine my ready to whatever, you know, I said, bam. But no, hey, actually, I said the video game first, but yes, by saying the other thing. So won't say no more. Yeah, we get striked off. It's like there went the episode. But that's pretty much it. So, Nathan, is there anything you wanted to say before we close it and wrap it up here? Hey, who that whale? Thanks. Hi for joining. Yeah, and we're going to be off here.
I was going to say, as we always do, make sure you check out the Beyond Retro channel. Joe and I do another live interactive show. Occasionally, I do play video games. I actually did like a 3.5 hour long retro video game stream the other night. So if you guys haven't checked that out, go check that out. That's a bit that.
Yep. And you did pretty good on a couple of them. You actually hung in there. You weren't doing usually the. Because you're usually quick. You're like a minute or two, and then you're done. But you stuck in there, and you were playing some for a while, so that was cool.
Horrible.
Oh, no, and you were picking some of the worst. Like, don't ever do the movie games. Anytime you do a movie game, it's like a disaster. Don't play any of the sport games.
I just wanted to see how bad they looked on, like, a handheld.
Oh, God. And on the big screen. Yeah, but when on the big screen, it's like even worse. They're somewhat okay to see on a little screen, but when you get big, it's like, damn. But no, that's pretty much it. Steve Madrid, thanks for joining us, and we're just now getting out. So I just want to say, if you're new to the channel, make sure you like, subscribe, share, and ring that bell so you can always be notified when we go live. And until next time, have a powerful
WCW
day.
WCW Capital Combat took place on May 19th, 1990 at the DC Armory Arena in Washington, D.C. The show was special for a certain reason because it had a promotional crossover. What character came...
Was that Robocop?
Yep.
Was that Robocop?
Pretty easy. Bit of a softball.
And you know what I hated? That's the thing, is when Robocop came out, I was so excited. I mean, don't say it, I fell for it, but I was thinking, it's Robocop. You know, in my mind, I'm like, he's really there. And then I remember he had a weird thing when he was walking. I was like, oh, man, something's messed up here. And it got me upset when he was walking because he looked like he was hurt. And it kind of crushed my hopes. But I was so excited. If it could have went without any errors, it was like, Robocop's real.
Yeah, now I got to go see Robocop 2, which was the whole reasoning behind it.